Hello there.
Hi, is that Lindsay?
Hiya, speaking, yeah.
It's Francesca from INF calling.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Is now a good time to speak?
Yeah, of course.
So before we begin, I just need to take some details off you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. Would I be able to get your full name, please, including any middle names?
Yeah, it's Lindsay Carol Rayless.
Carol. And were you ever known by any other names whilst you were in care or marriage or anything like that?
No.
No problem. And your date of birth?
It's 17/4/78.
17th of the 4th, 78, yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect. And your current address?
It's number 10, Hellier Road. It's Hellier Road, and that's Bournemouth, Dorset. It's BH80L for Lima, etc.
BH, what was the number?
BH8, yeah,
BH
BH8 zero LX.
zero L X. Perfect. And do you recall your address that you were in before you were placed in care?
Oh, God. The address, oh, that might be so there was a it was in Stevenson the first time I was about 18 months old the first time I was put in care, so Stevenson, I can't even remember. Is that I don't know. Oh, well, listen, Darren, I went to 22 different schools, I haven't got a clue. I just know it's
Does it
Stevenson.
say
There was a was
your
it Ardeer?
sister? Is it the
Yeah.
same? You say your sister referred you. Is it the same?
Yeah. I
Yeah.
can't remember the name of the school. Is it
Is it
no art.
Clark Crescent?
Oh yeah, that's it. Number
That one.
17 Clark Crescent. That's the one. Yeah.
Perfect.
Sorry, I remember bits and bobs. I think I've
Yeah,
blanked
no,
most of
that's
the things
okay.
out.
Yeah, it's just one of the responses, isn't it?
So that was Stevenson. Roselle doesn't even remember being in that children's home, but I was only a baby. I've got a picture of me on the fridge. I've still got a nappy net on, and I'm in that children's home in that picture, so I remember that. I don't know how she can't remember it.
So that,
That
yeah,
was
that's the
tight
one that
there.
she said. Yeah.
She says she remembers everything, and I vaguely remember everything, but I remember lads, and I remember loads. I was in and out from about 18 months old. I was 15. I was by that time. I was in.
Okay. Two seconds. And your parents' names?
Elizabeth Riley.
Are they the same as?
Same, but yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but no, but so my dad, so he is my dad, but he's not my dad. So my mum lied, and she told me, well, she didn't. My stepdad told me when I was 16 that my dad, I thought my dad's not really my dad, but I don't know. We've not had any DNA, haven't got a clue.
So would his name have been used on any of your like records?
Yeah, James Riley would have been, yeah.
James Riley. And what was your mum's surname?
My mum's surname, she was McDermott before she married my dad. So it would have been, her maiden name's McDermott, but her married name was Riley, and then she changed it to Smith. And she's not my mum.
So she's not your mum.
No, I don't call her that.
Oh,
She's just
yeah.
Smith,
Got
yeah.
you. And are you registered with a GP at the moment? I'll be able to take the name
Yeah,
off with the surgery that you're in.
it's oh God, St Albans Medical Centre, ALBANS, St Albans Medical Centre. There's not a specific doctor, we just see whoever.
Yeah, that's okay. Mine's the same.
Dr. Davy or something, I think. I've seen a lot. Dr. Davy, and two men there.
Perfect. And then in regards to your application, would you like to add a beneficiary?
What is it? Well, what's in case something
So,
happens to me?
yeah, if anything was to happen to you.
So can I do my youngest daughter for that?
Yeah, of course. Gotta be able to take her full name.
Yeah, it's Isla Amelia. Do you need a legal name or the name I changed it to? So I've checked. It's not legal age. So obviously, she hasn't seen her dad for like eight years. She's 9. She's had nothing to do with her. But
Yeah.
I've got three other children, but she's the baby. I changed her name from King to Riley, but just the doctor's skills, things like that. Do you need the legal name, or the name I gave her, because she's known as Riley, but her legal name's King. So we just put King, so, aka known as Riley, yeah.
Isla King Riley.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. Her name's spelled A-I-Y-L-A.
Is that A?
A-I-Y-L-A.
I love that name.
Pretty, isn't it? Very Celtic.
Okay, perfect. And then, so God, so I'll need an address. Is it your
she's
current address?
Yeah. She's same as me. Do you need a date of birth?
Yes, please.
It's the 1st of February
2017. And in regards to contacting you, so it's usually by telephone,
WhatsApp,
email,
yeah,
WhatsApp, they're all okay, yeah?
Yeah.
So, see, I appreciate the words. Discussing experiences connected to this can be quite difficult and upsetting, okay? So, if at any point you
need to call... about a week, think about this phone call.
Yeah. So, if you need to take a break at any point, okay, or any explanation, or if you want to anything, just let me know, okay?
Right, okay.
So, the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the redress scheme to you. We'll go through the options, cover how INS law operates, go through funding and fees, and then we'll gather some initial information to assess whether and how we can assist you. Is that okay?
Right, okay, yeah.
So, the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies, and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So, there's a few options for you, so I'll cover those before you decide whether to instruct us. So you're able to apply directly to the redress scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, and then they're paid by the government for assisting you with the application. So under
Do you not just do that then?
Sorry?
Do you not just do that then? Are you not doing it? I don't understand. Can you listen? My phone's a bit broken. I've got to have you on loudspeaker. You sound a bit muffled, so I'm struggling to actually.
Oh yeah, that's okay. No problem.
And I think it's your accent, eh?
I'm also Welsh, so it doesn't help.
Well, that's what it is then.
So you can apply to the scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or then you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, and they pay. No, so we're different to them. So they're paid by the government for helping you with your application, whether you're successful or not, and they're paid up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government.
So how do I find somebody that can do that then?
So that would be on the government website. So with us, we're INS Law, so we don't operate under that statutory scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees.
Right.
So you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we're not paid by the government for assisting you. So can I just double check also that you've not been in communication with any of the solicitors regarding the scheme at all?
Have I done what, sorry?
Have you been in contact with any of the solicitors regarding the scheme?
No, I didn't even know about it. It was Roselle who told me.
Yeah.
So what's the point of me talking to you then if you don't do this?
No, so we do it. So it's private legal representation instead. So we're
paid
by the government.
You're talking in gobbledygook and that then. You're trying to talk English to me. Because I don't understand your stress. I don't understand it. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I've got ADHD. I've got RSD.
So you can, on the government website, so when you go
I won't be doing that.
So you want to do that one? Okay. So the government, if you apply online, they give you a solicitor.
Yeah, no, you're not. No, I can't do that. Listen, I'm computer illiterate, darling. I'm only phoning you because my sister told me and she gave you this. I've got a clue with internet and things. I'm not interested.
That's okay. So with us is what we do. We do all the application for you.
Right.
So we have this phone call. I'll take all the details off you.
Right,
we'll go through the care settings you were in and then take some short statements.
Right, okay.
And then we submit the application on your behalf to the redress scheme.
Right, okay.
So we do all the application. We write all the statements. We get all the evidence, everything like that. So you don't have to do anything.
Right, perfect.
So the only thing that we will need from you further down the line is another witness statement. So today we'll just take a short statement with detail just for the scheme so you can get accepted and your application can move forward.
Right.
And then further down the line, when the team has gathered all of the records and evidence on your behalf, we'll have to do another statement with you. So it'll just be in more detail with
the
timestamps.
So what about the parents who were doing that to us, well, the half, not the people, well, having said that, so what about... Then did he get anything? Did he get can they get into, can they get done for this or what? Historical trade abuse and that. These social services kept putting us back there, and they kept doing it again. They kept taking us again and then putting us back.
So with this one, so with the scheme, it's basically about getting the apology and acknowledgement from the government and social services and everything like that. So how the system did you wrong. And it's an application to go to the government so they can see what they did wrong and basically try and fix it. Obviously, it's a lot more than that. Needs to go into it, but that's what it is to get the government to acknowledge that they messed up. So this isn't necessarily to the individual people, it's more the system and the government. Then if you were then to give me any information of names and anything like that, then the government would be aware of those people, and different institutions then get added to a list and things like that. So then they deal with that further. But they won't be any contact to them, so they won't know that you've done this or said anything about them. So with us, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you don't have to pay anything. And if you withdraw the application, you again pay nothing. So if you are successful and then you get the redress payment at the end, so we have a fee. So it would consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. But there's a cap on it. So the total fees, including the VAT, so it's capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of your redress payment, and you never pay more than that. So there's no prior fees. It's just at the end if you're successful. We'll be back in touch to cover all of that as well.
And you wouldn't really be contacting me if you didn't think we were going to be successful, would you?
So the government then, when they decide the outcome of the application, they'll get in contact with a caseworker that you've been appointed by the government. So it's just someone that helps and supports with your application. And then normally then they would be in contact with you if you were to apply by yourself. But because if you want to go through us, they'll be in contact with us. So you don't have to do any contact with the scheme. It's just us. So when we get an answer.
Third party, you're the middleman.
So when we get an answer, we come to you. And if you have anything, then you come to us. So we can't guarantee that it will be successful or the level of reward the scheme may give, because they operate on a discretionary basis. So it's an individual thing, and it's they can't give anything away, basically. It's just the outcome.
All confidential, perfect.
You decide to instruct us, so we help. So we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme, and then we gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the application, all the correspondence with the scheme. And then if it's successful and they make an offer, we can advise you on the offers made. We'll explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered. So the statutory waiver, it can affect your ability to pursue any future civil claims relating to the matters. So if you wanted to do another case regarding any of this, you wouldn't be able to if you accepted the award. And then if you're unhappy with the outcome, then we can help you then with any reconsiderations or review processes as well. So you also have a right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed, you have 14 days after you sign the agreement, and then you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And we can also begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that? Perfect. So following this phone call as well, just so we can act formally for you, so we require proof of identity for verification purposes. So we'll need a copy of photographic ID and then a proof of address, so a letter or a bank statement that has your name, full address, and then a date stamp on it that's dated within 3 months of today. And then you can send those photos over to us on WhatsApp if that's easier for you as well.
My passport's ran out, but does it have to be in day? It's still me. It's still my picture and that. It's still my date of birth and stuff. I lost it. I've just found it. It's ran out.
Yeah, so you can send that over and I'll double check. But if not, we can accept 3 proof of address documents instead. So three letters instead of that.
I've got my birth certificate and that here as
well. Birth certificate's perfect. Instead of photo ID, we can take that as well. So we've covered all of that. So just a few more questions before we move on to the case settings. So regarding impact factor, so have you received any relevant payments? So criminal injuries compensation, any court settlements or anything like that? No?
No.
And do you have any criminal convictions?
Section 5 years ago.
What was that, sorry?
Section 5 years ago. I think I was about 19 or something.
Okay. Was it, did you receive a sentence, you said?
No.
So it cuts to the question, so do you have any criminal convictions for rape, murder, or if you've received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years
Not
more?
Yet. not yet, no.
Okay, that was a no then. Perfect. So, and then, have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
No. Okay. So, move on now to the care settings. So, would you be able to talk me through the care settings you were placed in with approximate dates, if you can remember, so just the years,
God.
In general, as close as you can. So, that's our job further down the line, is to get your records and verify everything, but it's just for the initial application.
Right. So, I couldn't tell you dates and stuff, because they were probably better at that, but I remember the Stevenson Children's Home, obviously. I was only a baby, about 18 months old. The first time, my dad was away wanting to know, like, she put us in there, blah, blah, blah. I vaguely remember Orphan. I remember Largs very well. That was a big children's home. We went in foster carers, respite. God, I don't know. I've blocked a lot of my childhood. It was horrendous.
That's okay.
But the last place I was in was a place down here. I was 15 and it was in Lower Parkston with a family. I had my little sister with me in that one, and then my other little sister, she lived around the corner in another place. But that was the last time. I don't really know if I remember anything else.
What was that one? Lower Parkston?
That was Lower Parkston in, I think it's classed as Poole, maybe? Poole, Poole in Bournemouth. But that was the last place I was in. I had to get picked up from taxi to tour from school and that. See, the thing with that, I used to have to strip when I went into school, and if I had any bruises on me, the social services would come and get me and take me away. But then they'd still give me back and she'd still date again.
Yeah. So with that one is in England, isn't it?
That's in England, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. With this one, so we can only cover any
Scotland.
Kids in Scotland,
right.
Yeah.
So that'll be Largs, Irvine, Stevenson. I don't know, Darren, that's the main ones I remember.
Do you remember what the Largs Children's Home was called?
Oh, God. I think it's been knocked down now, and it's a hotel. So I haven't got a clue what it would be called. I don't know. I was there with Brazil and my brother.
Yeah.
But,
so were you in all the same places as her?
Yeah. Well, apart from, I wasn't in the Uddings, and she put herself in there. I didn't go to that.
Oh,
that one.
Okay. So in regards to the Children's and Largs, so there's a Warren Park.
I haven't got a clue, Alan, I don't
no.
know. I reckon I was only about seven, maybe six, seven at that point.
And with the one in Irvine, sorry, I've struggled to say that word.
Irvine, that's where I'm from.
So that was a children's home, yeah?
Yeah, well, I vaguely remember that. Really, I remember, the ones I really remember is Stevenson, right by the train station, there was a children's home there, and Largs. But there must have been mad. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you were in and out quite a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So in regards to statement sections, so is it the Stevenson and the Largs one that are the ones that you'll be speaking
that
about?
That I really remember, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when we get your records, we should be able to get the full story of the other ones you were placed in. But for now,
right,
I'll add the Stevenson and the Largs one on.
Right.
Would you be okay to do the statements now?
Yeah.
So would you be able to talk me through to the Stevenson's children home?
We were told, my dad used to work in oil rigs, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Mum had a boyfriend. When dad went to work on oil rigs and that, and I remember my dad done it as well, actually, when my Auntie Joyce died. Where did I go then? I don't even remember. He asked for a respite or something, and they wouldn't give us back. So then he had to fight to get us back. I don't know about Stevenson.
No, okay.
I was only a tiny baby then. I was with my sister and my big brother. I was only little.
So in regards to like the time frame and the places you went throughout all of that, is it this similar then to your sister?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the same, but we're always together.
Oh, yeah, so the, do you recall, it was in Asia.
The what was in Asia?
The one, so after your dad needs, so when you
got
Stevenson,
that's Asia. And it's, sorry, I've lived in Bournemouth now for 41 years. I've been here a long time.
Yeah.
I've been here a long time, darling.
So with the Stevenson one.
Yep.
So your dad, you said your dad used to work 2 weeks on off, and then your
mum, mother, she was having an affair. They were obviously married. He was going to be sending all the money back. She was spending all the money. My auntie and my nan actually went to the social services because we were tiny babies. I was running up down the street with a shit nappy on. We've only been cared for. They were steaming all the time. I've got a bit of a letter downstairs that my nan and my auntie, they went to try to, they put in the complaint about her, the boss mother. They put a complaint in about her to try and help us. But I've actually got a bit of a letter downstairs from a statement where I'm telling them, listen, they're beating us up, they're hitting us, they're doing this, and they didn't even listen. They just sent us back.
So you actually, there actually is a statement that you gave social services.
I've got that in my back cupboard, and I'm only little in this statement. Years and years ago.
So that's with this. It's even though it's difficult, so it has to be relevant care settings. Obviously, with you being in care of your birth mother, but because social services knew and sent you back, it's still a fault of social services.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously, I'm traumatised, with the RSD and that, what is it, a reactive dysmorphia, what is it called, I've only just spoke to the doctor about it, I'm not really that clued up on that about it, but, my mental health is suffering really badly through all of this, and it's been ongoing for a long time. I can't even think, what is it called, reactive RSD, rejection sensitive dysphoria is what I've got, but that's through all of that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of the things with ADHD, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got it, that's how I know.
Obvious, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Honestly, bane of my life.
You're coming into you, you're not good enough, and you're a failure, and you're this, and you're that, and you're not, you know what I mean?
It's bane of my life, honestly.
Yeah, I lock myself away, I don't come out, I don't answer my phone, I don't do nothing. I've actually got 64 unopened text messages on my phone,
yeah.
I talk to people, I just go into myself so much because of everything that's happened.
Yeah, that obviously mixed with everything that happened to you.
Yeah.
So the case you were back and forth, your mum would put you in there and then take you out.
Not all the time. I'd have to go to school, and I'd have to strip off, and if I had bruises on me, the social would come and pick us up and take us away, but then they'd still send us back again. She always goes back, and I don't know how.
So the school knew and would check you for bruises?
Yeah. We had to strip into our underwear in school. And they knew. And we still got sent back now.
So then following that, so how long did that go on for, the back and forth?
Until I was 15.
So you were 15?
Yeah.
So that's Stevenson.
No, that's all of it in total. It went on in my life from a tiny baby till I was 15 year old.
So that's the overview.
I ran away. Since I turned 16, I ran away.
Yeah. So then the first one was the Stevenson one.
Stevenson's the first one. Then obviously, it would have been the second one. Would have been when my auntie Joyce died, but I don't remember where we are. My mum also told us my dad had died. He was in that accident where the oil rig was on fire and stuff, and he was on that big major accident. So she told us he died. We didn't see him. He had to learn to walk and everything again, and obviously we thought he was dead for about 6-7 months, you know what I mean, and then one day he just wasn't, he was there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who even does that? But yeah, and then when I don't know,
So with Stevenson's, so
Yeah.
what do you recall from there?
I was a tiny baby darling, not really a lot.
No.
I remember running around, and I've got a picture on my fridge. I remember running around with a wee bike that I'm sitting on. I remember my brother being there, my sister. The Largs one, I remember a lot, man. Like, oh, that was a terrible place. My sister was buried really badly.
Yeah.
Really badly. But we was in there with Lizelle and my brother. We were all together, and then we got to there, and oh, George, darling, I don't know. I don't know. But everything will be there when you get all the reports and that come through, you'll see everything for yourself.
Yeah. So in regards to that, we have to submit obviously these short statements. So would you just be able to tell me like a brief thing of what you can remember from Largs? So anything, any incidents that you remember or how you felt?
Oh yeah, we were bullied, we were fighting, we were picked on. Obviously we were only dressed very nice kids, we wore hand-me-downs, we were only looked after. We got in a few fights in that because we were all getting picked on. It was lethal, lethal.
So this is a children's home, yeah.
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 And
So
then still sent it back.
in regards to your time there, so obviously you didn't get the care that you needed.
No, nothing.
So in what way did they, obviously they didn't give you any, so what did you miss out on, or what did you feel like you lost, or
Well,
like any.
apart from losing myself, like everything, do you know what I mean? We were only kids. We didn't really know or understand what was happening. We just, do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't really know, darling. My anxiety's improving. If I get my hands, I start to sweat now.
Okay, just take a deep breath, just take a breather, just whatever you're comfortable with. If you need a break,
Yeah.
just let me know, okay?
Right. I just always remember it just wasn't very nice. Like, it just wasn't very nice. We were left to fend for ourselves. We'd tell them. I remember sitting at the dining table, and I put my legs, like, you know, when you sit at a table, when I was only little, right, my feet were obviously swinging, so I wrapped
Yeah.
both my legs around the chair legs,
Yeah.
and I remember the lassie jumping up, and she tore right into me, but the care staff were there, and they weren't really helping, and then the girl actually hid in the wardrobe and waited till we were asleep, and then jumped out the wardrobe to beat us up, do you know what I mean? We weren't very well looked after, so
So
when
it
we
was just
got
for
at
the
home,
kids that were there.
what we received at home, we were actually receiving it in these places too, so we've only protected from nothing.
No protection. So obviously you were
No.
placed here to help, well, protect you from what was happening at home, and it was ended up being.
It ended up being the same in them places, yeah.
So with your care, so any like hygiene, food, medical checks, anything like that, was it all just.
I don't even remember anything like that, to be honest with you. There's certain things that I've got kids of my own, like there's certain things that I do with them, like we were never told, like personal hygiene and things like that. Brushing your teeth, things like that. Like with my kids, I'm militant, do you know what I mean? Get teeth done, talk to my kids all the time about periods and this, that. We were unaware about everything. We were just left
Yeah.
to fend for ourselves, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And in regards to obviously your childhood and things like that, in these places, were you given any chance to be a kid, or it was just all just taken?
It was all just what, sorry?
Like your childhood was just lost because you were just treated
Oh
like you had
yeah,
to fend for yourself.
we never had a childhood, darling. We were left to fend for
No.
ourselves. She was always in my mother was always in a pub drinking. She was always steaming. There was always loads of men in the house. It was ridiculous. Was I don't even remember. I remember being in, I think it might be the Riggs in Stevenson. We get took again then. The Hayek's maybe. She I was forced to which, my brother and that got battered, right, was there. I was forced to walk to a Chinese shop when I must have been about five. I was very, very young with a little tiny dog. We had a wee Jack Russell dog called Laddie. And I had to walk to a Chinese shop by myself at 5 to 12 at night to get this to pick up because I didn't want to get battered again. We watched my stepdad get stabbed. They used to, do you know what I mean? They used to tie bolt from my door and to keep us in room. My brother was left babysitting. He was only young. He was left babysitting his. Except I come back from pub one night, somebody's chasing him, he got stabbed in front of us, stabbed in the back of it 6 times.
Who did?
Your
victim's partner.
Yeah. He got stabbed in the back of it. And then my brother got battered because the door was locked and he didn't open the door in time. So then obviously I don't even know, was that the same night? I can't even remember. That much has happened, Dad, and I don't know. I could write a book of my whole life when I remember.
Okay, so in regards now to all of that, to what we've spoken about, so I'll get it written up into a statement.
Yeah.
And then once I finish all that, so I'll finish application, make sure it's all okay, and then I'll send the contracts over to you to have a look at.
Should I send you this letter from the statement thing from the police years ago where it's got, where it's actually got me telling them that they're beating us up and they did nothing, my auntie and my grand went. Shall I try and find that out and I'll get screenshots and send you more to them?
Yeah, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Because then you can see what's what and the dates and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And so, so I'll get your application that's all set up now.
Yeah.
And then in regards to the beneficiary, so obviously it's your daughter.
Yeah.
So the address obviously the same. So in some cases, we might need it to be someone so that has their own contact number, so preferably like over 18 or over 16.
Right, okay. Well,
is there another one you can add?
My eldest boy, my daughter's in a second year a lot at school. She's 19. I've got an elder boy, 26. So I can always talk to them. Do you know what I mean? They can date for me. But they don't really know much about my childhood. I don't tell them.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You can always add on at a later date if you wanted.
Right.
So okay. I don't have to put one on at this moment. So I'll put it in the notes about Isla.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it blank for now, just in case. And then you can always add on at a later date. And I'll clarify and make sure. And I'll see if we can put her on as well.
Right.
But I'll leave it blank for now. So when you see the contract, it'll say no. But you can add that at any point that you have.
I might just put my daughter on there and give you her phone number and that. But I have to talk to her first. And obviously I don't like discussing anything with her. I don't want her to know.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So if you want, so you can send me all those details over on WhatsApp or an email and then I can just put it on. So just do that in your own time when you're ready.
Yeah.
So I'll get these written up now. I'll get them sent to you probably within the next half an hour.
Right,
Would you like me to give you a call when I send the contracts over?
Yes, please.
I'll do that. No problem. So it shouldn't be too long and I'll be back in touch shortly, okay?
All right,
do you have any questions for me?
No, I'm all right,
girl. Okay, perfect. Okay, I'll give you a call soon.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.